Let's go ahead and open our Bibles to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7. Now, how many of y'all know that I don't preach according to Hallmark cards? You realize that? Well, this is no different because the Lord has laid this message on my heart to in this series. And yeah, but it's Father's Day. Shouldn't you be preaching on fathers? Says who? You know, I mean, we are happy that it's Father's Day, and that's a nice thing, and a little excuse to buy your dads a present. I got a nice set of wireless earbuds. They're pretty cool, actually. So I praise God for that. But title of the message today is The Way Up is Down. The Way Up is Down. This is number 4 in the Having Great Faith series. Mark chapter 7. I had told you in the beginning of this series that there were two different places in the Word of God that mention Jesus marveling at somebody's faith. The centurion, we've been talking about the centurion. We've gone there for a few weeks. Actually, 3. And today we're going to look at the second example. There are two examples in the Word. One was a centurion, a Roman centurion. Excuse me. And the second one was a Syrophoenician or a Greek woman that we're going to look at today. And so in verse 24, reads this way. And from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. Now, what's interesting to me as I look at this, Jesus wanted to get away. Listen, and listen carefully on this now, because I don't want you to misunderstand what I'm saying. Jesus wanted to get away from the people. Do you hear me? He really did. He needed some time alone. He constantly had the people thronging him. Everywhere he went, people were thronging him. He needed some alone time. A lot of times, the only quiet time and alone time he could get was at 3 in the morning. He'd go on a mountain apart to pray somewhere because people were bothering him all the time. So here he is. He's trying to get away. So don't ever feel guilty if people are, you know, calling you and pulling on you and you say, hey, look, I can't talk today, or you just don't answer the call, okay? Because you need to spend some time with God. What is more important? You trying to feed out of an empty vessel or getting your vessel filled? See, you can't help anybody if you're not already being taken care of in your own life. So it's very important to spend time with the Father. Amen. So here you go. And are you doing that is the question. Okay, yeah, Pastor Dan, I know that. Okay, now the next question. Okay, you know that. That's good. Are you actually doing it? Are you doing it every single day of your life? And hopefully the answer there is yes. Really, that's where we need to be. Okay, so he entered into a house, would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. This woman found him. This woman found him. And she, you know, had a serious, desperate need. Verse 26, the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. Now, this woman, she didn't have any understanding of the covenant that the Jews walked in with the Father. She had no idea of what this was all about, but she knew that she had a need. She had heard of Jesus. Let's see. She does not say that. Besought him that he would cast forth. It's in chapter 15 of Matthew, I believe, where it says that she had heard of him. It says it in verse 25. What am I saying? Verse 25. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him. Now, what did she hear is the question. What did she hear? She had heard that he had done and was doing miracles. Miracles of provision. Miracles of healing the sick. Healing the sick, raising the dead, providing needs being met. I mean, it was just one thing after another. This woman had heard the testimonies of what Jesus was doing. So when she heard of him, what did she have faith for? She had faith that this is, if he'll do it for somebody, he'll do it for me. Albeit she wasn't part of the nation of Israel. Albeit she was not one who was converting to Judaism. We find that there's no way she did. She was a Greek, a Canaanite, literally. And the word does say something about that. We're going to look at that in a moment. But what we want to do is bring out the fact or bring out the points involved in the word that emphasize why this woman had faith that Jesus actually marveled at. And you say, well, she was a Greek. She was a Canaanite. She was a Syrophoenician. Well, what's that all about? And yet that person has more faith. Well, we just saw that the centurion, Jesus, marveled at his great faith, amen? And he was a Roman soldier. He wasn't a priest. He wasn't anybody special, but he had authority and he understood some things. Now, in Mark chapter 7, look at verse 27. And this is where Jesus makes this statement. Jesus said to her, "Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs." Have you ever read that and thought, really, Jesus? You called this woman a dog? You know, you're saying, and one other version says in Matthew 15 that he ignored her. And upon first reading, I thought, that's interesting. I mean, he ignores this woman. He ignores her. And then he calls her a dog after he does talk to her. There's a reason. Hey, just make a note of this right here. We may not always know why Jesus said what Jesus said, but start with the premise that Jesus is always right. Okay? Start with that. Can I hear an amen? Start with that first. He's always right. He was God in the flesh. He's always right. If he did it for a reason. We may not understand it at the moment, but he did it for a reason. It'll be brought out a little bit more as we go along today. But here you go. This woman found Jesus. She comes with a problem. Her daughter is vexed with an evil spirit. Now, I want you to make a note of this, that her nationality is brought out here. She was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, okay? So her nationality is emphasized here. And I'll tell you what Jesus said to her was not politically correct by any means, by today's standards. Let the children first be filled, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. He was saying, this is not for you, woman. This is not for you. And again, as I have read this and gone over it and looked at it, it was like, well, okay, it's not for her. He was basically saying, no. And what we have always done is we've always emphasized the point that with God, the promises are yes and amen. The word says that. This woman did not have a covenant. So in actuality, she was outside the realm of the covenant blessings that the people of God had a right to. So she did not have a right to it. And Jesus emphasizes that again himself to her. So he was saying it's not for you. But look at what it says. It is not meet to take the children's bread. What's the children's bread? Well, the children's bread is healing. The children's bread is deliverance. The children's bread. And this woman says, that's true. What was she saying it's true about when she answers in verse 28? Yes, Lord. Yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. What was she saying yes to in verse 28? He just called her a dog, and literally what she was saying was, yeah, you're right. I am a dog. Dogs do things that humans wouldn't do, right? You ever see a dog just out in public, just squat? Come on, lack of a better, you know what I'm saying? Anybody? dog will throw up and, oh, here we go. Next thing you know, he's over there eating it. Dogs will mate in public. They have no shame. Dogs do things that are immoral to what we would, you know, gross. That's what dogs do. So when he called her a dog, and by the way, there were two words used for dog. One was a dog, like a wild dog that ran in a pack and not necessarily a household pet, kind of like a dingo is a wild dog in Australia, you know, and they run around and they're, and you've seen dogs run around in packs, I suppose. Maybe you have if you have. It's not such a good thing because they can attack people, but there was one word for wild dogs, and then there was this other word that meant little dogs or more or less a pet. And Jesus used the word for the little dogs, the household pet, that kind of thing. But nevertheless, it was a dog. So she says, answers unto him, verse 28, yes, Lord. And so now she's thinking about this, you know, yeah, I'm a dog. But even the dogs, or the little dogs under the table, eat of the children's crumbs. So these are dogs that were in the house. It's pointing at a pet. Even that pet gets to eat of the crumbs. And Jesus, you know, he was impressed with this. In verse 29, what does he do? He says, he said unto her, for this saying, go your way, the devil's gone out of your daughter. Have you ever stopped and thought about that for a moment? How something transpired here, something happened. There was something about this woman's attitude that caused the miracle to happen for her daughter. Now again, she had no idea about the covenant. She came in saying, I don't need a whole piece of bread. I just need some crumbs. The good news to you and I is that healing is the children's bread. So if healing is the children's bread, and, you know, it's a staple item. Is bread not a staple item in our houses? It is, isn't it? I mean, you know, you have some bread. And probably the less bread that you eat, probably the better, you know, because bread has a tendency to pump and puff you up. Although I love bread. But bread is a staple item. He's saying healing is the children's staple item. It's not some kind of dessert. It's not something that is only for special occasions. It is a staple item in the life of a believer, the children of God. So this power that ended up delivering this woman's daughter from this devil was literally crumbs. Remember me talking to you about how Jesus stated it, that he cast out devils with the finger of God. You remember that? And it's literally like, bing, get out of here. Flick the devil off the counter. Maybe he's not on your counter, but, you know, Jesus could do it with his finger. Then it talks about the hand of God. Casting out devils with the hand of God, or the hand of God was powerful. And then it also talks about the arm of God that raised Jesus up from the dead. But it's interesting to me as I look at that, God doesn't need but a finger to get the devil out of the way. You think about that for a minute. The finger, crumbs, little bits that fall off the table was enough to get her daughter delivered of this evil spirit. And the Lord Jesus said, this is the way it'll be. Now, jump over to Matthew 15. Matthew 15, this is the parallel account in Matthew's gospel. And we will begin there in verse 21. So Matthew 15. And you have to remember, this woman had no background in understanding spiritual things. She was a Syrophoenician, a Greek. Here it's brought out that she was a Canaanite. Now, something about this, you know, when you begin to look, you have to know what the history of the Canaanites was all about. And we'll check that out in Scripture in just a moment. But look at verse 21 first. Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Underline that. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away. In other words, get rid of her. She's bothering us, for she cries after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, there's a progression of humbling that she walks through here, okay? So, this woman, being a Canaanite, she was a Canaan out of the land of Canaan. The Canaanites were those that were in the promised land, and when Israel came into the promised land, they were going to displace them and get them out. There was a reason why the Lord wanted them out and his people in. Hold your place here, and let's jump back to the book of, where is it, Leviticus chapter 18. Leviticus 18. You guys awake this morning? Sounds like you're not, but that's okay. I'd rather have you listening than jabbering back and forth. Leviticus 18, look at verse number 3. Okay, this is Moses penning this. Of course, the Lord was giving it to him. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein you dwelt, shall ye not do, and after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do, neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Jump down to verse 24. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. And the land is defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Now the people of Canaan were a wild bunch, and they were, in the truest sense, dogs. Now, when we say that, it's like, well, how dare you call somebody a dog? Jesus did it, and remember, Jesus is right. What they did was, these people were involved in some of the most carnal things that you can imagine. You don't want to let your imagination go too far too much of the time here, but the fact is they were involved in bestiality, incest, fornication of all types. Well, one of the other things that they were involved in is they would sacrifice children. They would burn children alive, babies alive, frequently. These were people that had absolutely no morals at all. And we're also going to find that this unclean spirit had to do with sex. Sometimes people think, well, you know, just unclean spirit, it was just a nasty spirit. Yeah, well, it was. But at the root of it, there was sexual deviation. And there's no wonder why, based on the place where she was coming from, where she lived, and the people that she was raised up among, okay? So her daughter ends up with this evil spirit. Immediately, you have to ask yourself this question. Where did the daughter pick up this evil spirit? Now, a lot of people today would kind of back off, and they wouldn't want to talk about spirits. They wouldn't want to admit that it's an evil spirit that's messing with this girl. They'd say, well, you know, she needs some kind of therapy or some kind of medication of some sort, you know, and they just want to kind of sidestep the issue because, after all, we have science and we have understanding and education, and so therefore we seem to know more than what, you know, poor old Jesus knew back here in the New Testament. Well, the fact is Jesus is right, amen? And there are spirits. And the sooner that a person realizes that you're not battling against flesh and blood, but against evil spirits, it's part of what we do. It is. Every day we battle the enemy in some fashion. Amen? Sure. So here she is. Go back to Matthew 15. Here she is, and she uses, I told you to underline that phrase, son of David. Have mercy. You see that? In verse 22, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. Wait a minute. Think about this woman's background. Does she know anything about the Jews' religion? Maybe she's heard some things. But maybe she had heard that there was this blind guy by the road crying out, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me," because she repeats that. Maybe she is parroting something she's heard, thinking it's a key to getting a result. You remember the sons of Sceva? "We adjure thee by the Jesus that Paul preaches." What happened to those guys? Scripture's pretty vivid about it. It tells, they went in there, that spirit that was on that guy ripped them up. They ran out of there screaming naked. I mean, I've had confrontations before with evil spirits, but I never left and ran out of a place naked. I mean, my goodness sakes. That's horrible. But why did it happen that way? Because these were people trying to use the name of Jesus that they really didn't have any right to. They weren't born again. The pharmakai or pharmakai, we get the word pharmacist or pharmacy from it when it talks about those sorcerers. What that was, they used incantations to try to cast out evil spirits. That won't work, amen? Satan coming against Satan isn't going to work. Jesus brings that out in Matthew 12. But, you know, so a person that doesn't have a right to something cannot just come up and start learning the phraseology. We have people that, through the years I've seen do this, they try to get the phrases down, the hallelujah, praise God, you know. It's kind of like the Christian isms that a lot of Christians use when they worship. Hey, brother. You know, for a while, everybody was a brother. Well, not everybody is a brother, amen? Or a sister. Some denominations use that all the time. Brother, sister. Like, okay, whatever. I mean, if I'm your brother, I'm your brother, I guess, you know. So that's okay. But the fact is, folks, they're borrowing terms, and when you borrow a term, you may not have legal right to even use it. Now, the brother and sister, it's a little different, but in this case, Jesus, thou son of David, you know she had heard somebody else say that, and that's really all that boils down to. She didn't have actual knowledge of it. She was brought up in a demonically charged society. And I will tell you this much, this girl ending up with this evil spirit, you have to look at the home where she lived. What was she being exposed to in the house that opened the door for an evil spirit to come in to this girl? We don't know exactly how old she is here. It doesn't say that. But what's interesting about the name, the word unclean in the scripture, when you dig that out, you'll find that it means morally impure. And in a moral sense, lewd. L-E-W-D. Lewd. So this whole thing about this evil spirit that got onto this girl, it came back to the sexual thing, and it came back down to what they were doing in their society, the way they grew up. This was just part of their daily life. You know, the temple prostitution that was in the city of Ephesus and in Corinth and various other places in the New Testament that Paul had to deal with and tell the women, stop dressing like prostitutes. You know, you've been delivered out of that. Don't dress like you used to dress. Dress as that which becometh godliness, remember? You know, you've heard me say before, don't show more meat than a butcher's window. Well, that's a good saying, actually, and it makes a lot of sense. What are you advertising? Is it for sale? You know, that's not supposed to be the way that we go about it in our walk with Christ. But these women were doing this. They were acting in a way that was speaking of their former life. This woman came out of that. In fact, at this point, she's not even out of it. She admitted she's a dog. And so Jesus is making this very clear that, you know, you don't have a right to this. That's why he answers her not a word, because he's hip to what she's doing. Okay? In other words, he knows that she doesn't have a right to this. That's why he says in verse 24, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He knew who she was, and by saying that, he also let her know, I know that you don't have a right to even use the phrase son of David. You don't understand what that means. There are times people, they want to get what God can give, but they don't want God himself. You ever met somebody like that? They want to receive what they can receive to get out of trouble. And that's really the main goal. But sit down, I mean, we've had it right here before. Somebody came in before the service one day and said, I need to talk to the pastor. And I just happened to be walking out. And service was just ready to start. And Pastor, I've got a lot of financial needs. And I said, not now. We'll do it after the service. Well, he got in a huff. And he got kind of ticked off. And I said, just stay for church and we'll talk afterwards. He walked out the door. I thought, okay, it's the end of that. Service was concluded. We're done. I see him come walking back in. I said, where'd you go? Well, I had some places to be. I said, so what's going on? Well, I have financial needs. I said, well, I told you that you need to stay for the service. If the service wasn't worth coming to and hearing, then why is our money any good? Come on, you guys understand what I'm saying? We are called to be good stewards of what we have. And if I just fall for every little plea that comes through the door, I mean, you'll be handing out checks all day long. Hey, go find those suckers. I mean, Christians. You just go there and throw a little sob story at them and they'll throw cash at you. You know, no, it's not the way it is. You want to get under my skin in a hurry? Start using the church for money. Heavy amen right there. Why do I feel like that? Because your hard-earned money that you sow into the church is not to be squandered and me being gullible be cheated out of it on your behalf. Because in essence, you're then being cheated. If I go, well, you know, well, they came in, they asked, so I guess I just better do it. You know, you can go through money pretty quick. You start handing it out to anybody and everybody that comes through the door. You have to be discerning. And, you know, we are a very generous church. I'm not saying that. And we do give. But we are very prayerful about it and use discernment. I told you about the time a guy came in and asked, he needed gasoline. And I said, well, you know, okay. You going to church anywhere? Well, I go to such and such church. I said, well, have you gone and asked them for gas money? I mean, fair question, right? Come on, you guys with me today? I'm struggling enough as it is, and you guys are like, hey. I'm not my bubbly self this morning. So I said, did you ask your church for it? Well, I couldn't do that. I said, well, then why are you here? And then the compassion hits, and I go, okay, come on, let's go. So I go out, I get my car. He was parked around back. It was our building just part of this. I pull around front. He's got a nicer, newer car than I have. I'm like, something's not right here. So I got to the gas station. I said, and at that time, gas was cheaper. This was, you know, 20-plus years ago, whatever it was. And I said, put $5 or $10 worth in, you know, and that's it. He looked at me. I said, well, take it or leave it. I don't know. I've been taken by people before, and I won't let that happen again. Amen. So we're back in Matthew 15. Matthew 15. So here it is. He says, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Now, what you have to see, in this meeting with Jesus, she finds him. She has opportunity after opportunity to become offended. Does she not? The disciples are saying, Lord, get her out of here. She's crying about her daughter. Just get her out of here. And Jesus is like, hey, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And this woman just persists. And one of the things that you'll find about people that end up having great faith, in fact, this woman, she persisted. She persisted. That is always an ingredient to people that walk in great faith. They have great diligence and persistence. And you can go to Luke 18, not now, but make a note of it. The importunate widow, you remember her, the one that the unjust judge that would not deliver, and she just kept coming at him. Finally, the judge gives in. Well, the judge is not a type of God in Luke 18. The judge is a type of the devil. He was an unjust judge, not a holy, godly judge. Our Father God is a godly judge, amen? And he judges righteous judgment. This guy was an unjust judge. And he's like, this woman's ticking me off, but man, she's just going to keep pounding on my door and coming at me unless I, you know, rid her of her adversary. So finally he gives in, and that is the way that Christians need to attack the enemy, with that kind of diligence and dedication. Now, again, in this case, this woman is being diligent toward the Lord Jesus Christ, although she has opportunity after opportunity to be offended. You know, you are a dog, and you're not fit to receive. I mean, you can put this in different words, but what would the feeling be? Who are you calling a dog? You think you Jews are so great? I know some Jews that aren't so hot, right? I mean, we Canaanites have our problems, but we're not all such terrible people. You know how people stand up for themselves. So the opportunity to be offended presented itself. And then the disciples are wanting her to go, get her out of here. And I'll guarantee you they weren't going, hey, Jesus, she's bothering us. They were like, hey, this woman is bothering us. Tell her to leave. She's hearing it. So what does she do? She bows a little lower. She humbles herself. The centurion humbled himself, remember? He's a man of great authority, could have legally had Jesus brought to him. He could have had Jesus accosted and said, you're coming to my house. Send some soldiers over there and get him. But instead, he bows down and worships Jesus, recognizing that Jesus had authority and that he had heard of Jesus too, just like this woman had heard of Jesus. That you'll find is a key in all of it, hearing of the Lord. If nobody's talking, nobody's going to hear. If you're not talking, others are not going to hear. Do you hear me? So you need to be talking, and not just in church. In fact, you don't need to be talking in church. You need to be listening in church, amen. But when you go out there and you're sitting at the restaurant, you need to be talking about Jesus. You need to be talking about stuff. You'd be amazed how long people's ears get when they're near you. And some folks just want to know what's going on in everybody's life. Scripture does say something about that, too. They call them busybodies, amen. Long tongue and long ears, you know. So, but the fact is you can give witness, and you should be talking about your Savior on a consistent basis. She had heard of Jesus. The centurion heard of Jesus. The centurion humbled himself and didn't act like Jesus owed him anything. There was no attitude of, you know, this is owed to me. Okay? Do you hear me? There was no attitude of that. No entitlement attitude in the centurion. This woman didn't have an entitlement attitude. She resisted and rejected becoming offended, and she makes, you know, when Jesus said, you know, I'm not sent but unto the house of Israel, first said she's a dog, and she makes the excuse of, or not the excuse, but the retort of, yes, but even the little dogs get the crumbs off the table. I'm not sent but unto the house of Israel. She bows a little lower and worships him and says, help me, Lord. Now, You know yourself the Lord's going to help somebody who's crying out for help, right? She didn't have covenant rights. No, she didn't. But there was something about this woman that she would not let go. And she crossed over the line of the nationality thing. You know, she tried the little con job, son of David, you know, and that didn't work. So I think you see a progression here in her humbling herself. And it is humbling to have somebody say something nasty about you right in front of you and you not retaliate. Anybody ever have opportunity to retaliate? And had she gotten offended, guess what? She would have left, but her daughter would have still had the evil spirit. Amen. So she resisted that, which is shows some character here, does it not? Sure it does. But she continued to humble herself over and over and over. Then came she, verse 25, and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. The Greek word, I didn't look up the Hebrew word, but the Greek word is mega, megas, great. This is a mega kind of faith. And I will say this, that Jesus commends two people in the Word of God, and neither one of them are Jews. Isn't that interesting? This is a woman who didn't have any covenant right to any of this. And yet she obtained it through humbling herself, bowing down and worshiping God. The title of the message is The Way Up is Down. And what does that mean? What that means is in order to get anywhere with God, you need to humble yourself, right, before the hand of the Lord. We used to sing a song like that, humble thyself in the sight of the Lord, and he will do what? He will lift you up. Humility is one of the strongest characteristics that we see in both of these examples with the centurion, the Roman centurion, and this woman, the Greek Canaanite Syrophoenician woman. They both didn't have a whole lot of scriptural understanding or knowledge, but yet they had a heart that was right in their approach. And Jesus said this woman had great faith. O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. Listen, how much more should we who have covenant rights in and through the blood of Jesus Christ be able to receive from the Lord? If this woman can, come on, the bread belongs to you. Healing is the children's bread. The bread belongs to you. What in the world do people wait on? It's yours for the taking. Here's where we have to be very, very careful. We have to put down the defiant pride that so often tries to accompany us in our lives. I'm an American, and I'm not going to humble myself before anybody. An American? What about before the Lord Jesus? Well, there's some folks that are like, America! Well, I'm for America. I put the A on it, though. Have you seen the America, M-E-R? You know, America! America! So I'm an American too. But the fact is I'm a Christian before I'm an American. And I'll let my Christianity be what I'm going to fall. I'm not going to fall back on my heritage here in this country, my nationality. I'm not going to rely on that. I'm going back to my spiritual heritage. That's what I will emphasize. That's what I will exalt, is that I'm a born-again man of God, a born-again, spirit-filled man of God who has covenant rights. And Jesus said that healing belongs to the children. And I'm one of them. Are you one of them? If you're one of them, children, then healing belongs to you. And so we praise God for that. Amen. Thank you, Lord. But as, again, you look at this, this woman humbled herself. I think you have to look at the situation as it is and realize the kind of base debauchery this woman came out of. I mean, there's no telling how many men this woman had been with, and or women, and or animals, or whatever in the world she was doing. There are a lot of sexual perversion going on. That, the devil used that in mankind very early on. Oh, hey, it's there today. Sometimes folks think, well, you know, the good old days when there were no perverted people in the world. There has never been a day when there aren't perverted people led of the devil in this world. Now you can see it standing on the corner, advertising that they're perverts. Yeah, but who are you to judge what's perverted? Let's just take it to the Word. Let the Word be the judge of what's perverted and what's not. It's not normal for a man to have relations with an animal, or for women to have relations with women, or men with men. Do you hear me? Or adults with children. Sex is for married people, men and women. They get married. I put the ring on them. Then they do it. Do it? You know what I'm saying. We're all adults in there. Well, most of us are. That didn't come out quite the way I meant it. Yeah. Well, this day is getting better as we go. Amen. So resist the temptation to become offended and let go of your faith. The Lord's not looking for all the these and thous to be in the right place. You come in the name of Jesus, absolutely. Okay? You don't come to the Father but through Christ. But in both of these examples with the centurion, go ahead, stand to your feet, with the Roman centurion and with the Syrophoenician or Canaanite woman, neither one of them were very polished, spiritually speaking. So don't think that you have to get everything polished, spiritually speaking. You need to grow in the Word. You need to grow in your understanding of the covenant, but you need to have a diligence on the inside of you that says, I'm not going to let go. I will humble myself. Humbling yourself before the Lord is vital. Is vital. When you humble yourself, you submit yourself. When you submit yourself under the hand of God, you say, I am coming under His hand, under His authority. And the minute you're under His authority, everything else that the devil has is under you. Go back to a few weeks back where we talked about if it's under Jesus and I am under Jesus and I am in Jesus as a born-again man, then in Christ I have all the same rights that He walks in. I have a right to walk in divine health. He's given me authority in His name. See, so I have, number one, I come into a place of protection, right? When I am under God's authority. If I come under His authority, He's going to protect me. But then also, by being under His authority, He has given me that same authority to exercise it over the enemy. Now I come to a place of power as well. So I come to a place of being under Him and being in a place of safety, but that place of safety is also a place of power because I'm under Him. And He says, now in My name you go and you cast out devils. You lay hands on the sick. So in order for us to walk in this whole thing, we have to consistently and probably daily humble ourselves before the Lord and submit ourselves all over again. Can I hear an amen? submit yourself unto the Lord. If you're submitted to the Lord, then when you resist the devil, he'll flee. I'll tell you right now, there's some people the devil doesn't have to listen to. Do you hear me? Christians, born again, even spirit-filled. And why is that? Well, they have the name of Jesus, Pastor Dan. Yeah, but are they submitted to the Lord? If they're not submitted to the Lord, who are they listening to? I've got news for you. They're listening to the devil. And if somebody's listening to the devil knows they're not under God. If they're listening to the devil knows the devil doesn't have to listen to them. It's that simple. It is huge. That revelation needs to hit home with us. That revelation really needs to hit home. If you're listening to him, he doesn't have to listen to you. And what I found about him is he does all the talking. He's constantly yapping, isn't he? He's constantly telling you something about yourself that's not any good. He's constantly coming, constantly saying, oh, you think that that's going to change. You think that's what the word says and that God will do it for you. No, he does it for special people and you're not one of them. He comes against the people of God. Hey, you're under the Lord. You're under his authority, but you're also underneath his protection. And when you speak the word, the devil has to flee. So recommit, resubmit yourself. Start your day off that way. I submit myself to you today, Lord, to do what you want me to do. I'm not taking this day by the horns. I'm not going to do it my way. I want to do it your way. I want to hear what you have to say. I want to be in the right place at the right time for when you send somebody to me, I have the answer to what they have need of. That's where Christians need to be. Have a word, instant in season. Didn't Paul say that? You need to be ready to give it. Too many Christians are just always have their hands out ready to receive it or take it. Well, at some point you need to become the guy that is going to give it. Or the lady that's going to give it. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, bow your head with me. Let's pray. Father, we thank you and praise you for today. We give you glory for this time together. Thank you for the word that's been sown in our hearts. Lord, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And because of that, these same principles apply. And it is possible to have faith that the Lord himself says, that is great faith. Well, I think we need to simplify and stop trying to be so complicated with our faith. Just simply trust him. Humble yourself before him. Put yourself under his authority every day. Remind yourself you're under his authority. Remind yourself you are committed to serve him. Remind yourself that you are submitted to him. Submit yourselves unto God. Resist the devil, and the devil has to flee. We know the Greek says with stark terror. So, Father, we thank you and praise you today and give you glory today. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you for your goodness. We praise and bless and honor you. And we want to walk in a faith, Lord God, that you say is, that's great faith. We don't do it for the notoriety's sake. We don't do it to become known and to have our name splattered all over the place. No, no, no. We just want to be pleasing to you. You don't have to do this out in front of people in the respect of letting everybody know that you're committed to God again. No, the fact is you do this daily. You do it by yourself. You do it before the Lord. God can reward you publicly for something that you do in private. Sure. Sure he can. Don't ever make yourself or try to make yourself seen of others in order to promote something that you deem is good and right in your life. You don't do it as unto people. You do it as unto the Lord. Father, we thank you and praise you for that today. We give you glory for that today. Thank you, sir, for the faith that you have instilled in us this day in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, you know the end of the story. The woman's daughter got delivered of that evil spirit. That's good news. Amen. That's good news. We don't know all the details about what was going on. This may have been a 20-year-old daughter. I don't know. It may have been a 10 or 12-year-old daughter. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. You know, you could give a person medication, and medication will never run a spirit out of their life. Reminds me of my dad. One time years ago, he broke his leg. And we weren't Christians at the time. And he walked about a mile on a broken leg. Maybe not, maybe a half a mile. And when he got home, I'll never forget, he was climbing into the bathtub because he was bleeding and mom was trying to get him fixed up. And he said, "Marion," it's my mama, you know, "put a Band-Aid on it." It was broken in two places. Yeah, well, he needed a Band-Aid on the cut, but he needed the bone set in the other places. But yeah, sometimes I think Christians try to put a Band-Aid on something that's going on in their lives, and they try to mask over something that's much, much more serious. And you know, I mean, pills aren't going to get a spirit out of a person's life. Spirits still mess with people today. You realize that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now, I don't look for a devil behind every bush. I mean, and I want to tell you something right now. The devil doesn't have access into my spirit, man. Do you hear me? In fact, I mean, if I yielded to it, I'm sure I could let the devil sit on my shoulder and walk around with me today. But who in their right mind wants to do that? Jesus at times cast out devils. Other times he just spoke the word. Sometimes he laid hands on people. "Be whole of thy plague." You know, I mean, he didn't go about it the same way every time. Now, the devil ultimately is behind all sickness and disease. But not every time that there's a situation is there the actual presence of an evil spirit. You know, years ago, I walked into Ann's office area. You remember what I'm going to tell? I was going up the corridor. It was over in Mass Science. And she had bought me some new Nautica cologne or something. And I took a bath in it that day, you know. Not really. It was powerful. It was strong. It was a nice cologne. But I went up that corridor, got up there, and she's not in the office. Well, she had gone to the bathroom, so she had gone down. She came back up, and she smelled, "Dan's here." That can be a good thing or not. "My husband's around. Oh, no." I wasn't right there in the corridor, but she could tell I had been there. I left a residue of something, right? Now, you just hush that. So, I mean, the enemy can come and afflict the person with some kind of sickness and he's not actually there possessing or oppressing or obsessing or even depressing the individual. Because you don't find Jesus casting out a spirit every time he laid hands on somebody or every time he spoke. You just cannot find it. He said, "By your faith be it done to you. Your faith has made you whole." And other times, he rebuked the devil. So there's different methods, and you have to realize that and recognize it in the Word. There's different methods. Now, ultimately, the devil's behind sickness. Yeah. But not every person that ends up with sickness has a devil in them or even on them. You know. But this girl obviously had an evil spirit that was messing with her to the point that everybody knew it. So the spirit went out. In fact, Jesus didn't even cast the spirit out in this case, did he? Did he? Did he? You don't see it. But the devil went out. I'm telling you, the finger of God, Jesus may have just, I don't know, I wasn't there. Maybe he went, the devil's gone out of your daughter, and flicked it with his finger. I don't know. It's not there. But you and I have authority over him. Come on, let's pray again. Father, we thank you today and praise you today for your goodness. We bless you and we thank you, sir, for your goodness in us. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. The Holy Spirit lives and dwells on the inside of you. In the name of Jesus. So we thank you and praise you for that. This day. This day, in Jesus' name. If you all agree, say amen.